Welcome to Inside, the insurance news podcast hosted by me, Andrew Silcox. In this week's edition of Inside, we're listening to a deep fake video of former Prime Minister John Howard singing, "Sorry seems to be the hardest word." The federal government is under fire for an embarrassing error that's been likened to the devil going bald. There's going to be hell to pay. Sorry. We're still talking about the weather and floods. I've got a Bless the Rains Down in Africa song stuck in my head, so it's not a Toto loss. Apologies. Africa demand insurers do better with general insurance complaints soaring 20%. They've thrown down the glove to the industry and it's getting out of hand. Hello everyone. While I disingenuously apologise once again for my intro, I'm joined by senior journalist Bernice Han, editor John Deeks, deputy editor Wendy Pugh and chairman Terry McMullen. Good morning, John.
Hello.
Anything you're sorry for?
All manner of things, but I don't want to go into it here.
Hello, Terry.
Good morning.
What about you? Anyone you need to say sorry to?
To every single listener who had to endure that intro, Andrew.
Oh, so that's both of them.
Oh, my God. Yes, I did like the glove one. Very good.
Thank you. Hi, Wendy.
Good morning, Andrew.
Are you a fan of Toto's I Bless the Rains Down in Africa?
I didn't mind it at the time.
And hello, Bernice.
Hi, Andrew.
Now, you couldn't possibly have anything to be sorry for, could you?
No, actually, I have a very long list. But again, I'm not going to, bought the listeners with it, yeah. So
well, we all make mistakes, Bernice, but the federal government is under fire for an embarrassing error in a recent bill.
Yeah, and it's one with huge consequences for the industry, I think, if it went under the radar. So as we've reported last month, the government tabled a bill to legislate commission consent requirements. So that's what the government has said it'll do in response to the Quality of Advice Review final report. It agreed the recommendation to keep commissions, and then as an extra layer of protection for consumers, consent is required for clients who are getting personal advice. So other than that, everything else, remains the same, meaning brokers who offer general advice can still get commissions without running foul of the ban on conflicted remuneration. But the bill before the House of Reps was drafted in such a way that means brokers and other intermediaries that operate on a general advice model, they will no longer be exempt from the ban on conflicted remuneration, meaning they can't get commissions. And Stephen Jones, the financial services minister, has clarified that it was never the intention to remove the exemption for conflicted remuneration for general advice. And he says the government is working to resolve the error as soon as possible. So an insurance law expert actually spotted the drafting error and contacted Insurance News. So a big thank you to you if you're tuning in to the podcast.
Wow. So what would have happened if this hadn't been spotted by our reader, John?
Well, I guess it would have caused chaos. We took the time to have a read over the bill and the Corporations Act. And it's pretty clear even to me that as it's written now, anyone not offering personal advice who takes a commission would be breaking the law. Now, we know that most brokers do offer personal advice to their clients, but there are some occasions where they work under a general advice model. And that's not to mention all the websites that act as distributors of insurance products without giving advice. So I guess it would have been totally unworkable, but nobody is saying that this is anything other than a mistake. Clearly, what was intended was to allow commissions to continue, but for those offering personal advice on retail products to get consent from clients. I guess if it had gone through as is, it could have been amended, but it would have been a whole lot of time wasting and wasted effort in the meantime.
Well, Stephen Jones has taken some flack for this, Terry. Is that rightly so?
Yeah, well, someone has to take the flack and he's the minister and that's what he's meant to be there for. So let's blame Steve. But also let's not get too excited. They're fixing it. You can sort of see how a mistake like this could be made in the drafting process if you really don't understand the way that intermediaries work. It's just unfortunate it got through all the checks. The real blame, I guess, is really going to fall a long way from the minister, and we won't ever hear about the beheading of whoever is responsible. So, yeah, it's just an oversight that shouldn't have happened, but it did.
Well, we're talking about the weather again, Wendy. New South Wales has been hit by damaging floods.
Well, it has been with those storms late last week and into the weekend, bringing over a couple of days more than 200 millimetres of rain in some areas, and that's included Western Sydney and the Wollongong region. And the Hawkesbury River at North Richmond reached major flood levels, peaking at 10.52 metres on Saturday night. And across the state, emergency services respond to more than 5,000 calls. But it's not clear yet, you know, how significant the event has been from an insurance perspective. And certainly, it's nowhere near as bad as the events we saw 2 years ago, which are now the subject of a federal inquiry into how the insurers handled those claims. But particularly in the Western Sydney context, it's put the focus back on what mitigation measures are needed as that area just gets hit again and again.
Well, meanwhile, the government's flood inquiry is starting its tour of affected communities.
Well, that's right. You know, the inquiry has already held hearings in Canberra. So it's starting in southeast Queensland with hearings in Caboolture and Logan. And on Thursday, it's going to Lismore, where it's scheduled to hear from a whole range of organisations. And that includes local councils in the region, the Chamber of Commerce, business groups. And one of the features of these community-based hearings is that the inquiry has set aside time to allow individual residents to make short public statements about their experiences with insurers. And the inquiry hasn't released a schedule yet for further ahead, but I would guess they will be holding similar hearings in other areas because, you know, those floods affected other areas of New South Wales and down into Victoria.
Well, presumably this means more bad publicity for insurers, John, as local communities have their say on the 2022 events.
Yeah, you'd have to think so. I did wonder if the mainstream media had sort of had their fill, but the appetite for stories about big bad insurers is still strong, I think. And you wouldn't expect flood-hit communities to be saying anything very complimentary about insurers, at least not the people who are willing to stand up and tell their story to a public inquiry. They'll either be cross because they were priced out of flood cover or cross because they had cover and their insurer stuffed them around. Now, you understand why the government feels it's important for these people to have a chance to have their say. They've been through the ringer and it only seems fair, but it feels a bit odd coming at the end of this inquiry. We've already heard some horror stories from consumer representatives. And MP Andrew Gee has done a very thorough job of holding insurance executives to account. So to go back to insurer bashing is perhaps not the most productive way to end the hearings, but I guess we shouldn't judge before we hear what people have got to say. There may yet be some valuable insights to come out, and we'll be listening in to check.
Well, it's not just Australian weather we've been writing about, Wendy. The forecast for the US hurricane season looks bleak.
Well, each year, researchers at Colorado State University forecast how active the Atlantic hurricane season will be. And this year, they are forecasting a very active season with more hurricanes and severe hurricanes and major storms than usual, and a much higher chance that a major hurricane will actually make landfall. So, you know, the researchers cite record warm temperatures in the eastern subtropical Atlantic as a key reason for their prediction. And they expect a La Nina later this year. So they regularly update their forecast for the season, which runs from June 1 to November 30, but they seem quite confident at this early stage that it will be an active season.
Why are we interested in hurricanes, Terry? They can't hurt us here, can they?
Well, I've just been biding my time, Andrew. American winds aren't going to blow Australian roofs off, but they always have the potential to cause severe pain to reinsurers' wallets, and where reinsurers are hurt, they pass the pain on. US hurricanes are a major risk for insurers. The East Coast and the Gulf are jam-packed with people and property, so it's getting harder and harder for hurricanes to avoid doing substantial damage. If the reinsurers lose enough there, the impact can find its way to the market here, where we also have some significant windstorm exposures. And incidentally, the New York Stock Exchange also dips after a hurricane as uncertainty creeps in. Did you know that, Andrew? Anyway, let's remember, Hurricane Katrina struck the Gulf Coast of the US in August 2005, and it's still the biggest ever windstorm loss and the costliest disaster in the history of the global insurance industry. That's $61.9 billion US in catastrophe losses from one storm. So, yeah, that's why we should worry.
Well, clearly your facts about the US trump mine. We know that AFCA complaints are spiraling, John, but the dispute ombudsman had some harsh word for general insurers.
Yes, that's right. So overall, AFCA said that it had more than 100,000 complaints last year for the first time. But at a member forum a week or so ago, we got some more up-to-date details about general insurance complaints. They had 28,698 during 2023, and that was up 20% on 2022. Now, in this member forum, AFCA's chief ombudsman and CEO, David Locke, had some harsh words. He said that, you know, we've analysed these rising complaints for a while now, and we can see that it's not just a blip. These are here to stay, and they're going to continue going up unless the industry does a better job. So he wants insurers and other financial services firms to handle complaints more effectively internally, so that AFCA is only dealing with highly complex issues that would otherwise have made their way to the courts. At the moment, he says AFCA is, you know, getting swamped by very simplistic complaints which are coming to AFCA because the insurer is not dealing with them properly. So yeah, quite strong words. And the lead ombudsman for insurance, Emma Curtis, backed that up, said that there's still ongoing increases in complaints coming through. And while insurers do have the excuse of the severe natural catastrophes of the last few years, she says it's not just to do with that. There's elevated complaint rates across all general insurance products and issues. So yeah, this isn't a good position for insurers or their customers, she says, and AFCA wants to see improvement. Now, they do say that some companies have made improvements to their systems and processes and staffing levels, but not all companies, and it's not consistent enough. So much more is needed. Otherwise, AFCA's going to get swamped itself. Delays are going to continue at AFCA, and they would have to take on more staff and pass the costs down to their members. So much better, Mr. Locke says, if insurers get their act together themselves.
Life insurers, on the other hand, Bernice, are the teacher's pet at the moment.
Yeah, seems like it. AFCA seldom dishes out praises, but life insurers must have done enough this time. So life disputes in 2023, they were down 35% to just under 1,600. And AFCA says the numbers are really positive and pleasing, coming at a time when other financial services products are seeing elevated complaint levels. And the reason for the decline, AFCA says the numbers show the effort that life insurers have put in to improve their internal dispute resolution processes and customer engagement. So what that means is it has in many cases eliminated the need for customers to go to AFCA to have their complaints resolved.
Well, finally, Bernice, NTI is holding another one of its celebrated truck raffles.
Yeah, Bonnie is the name of the truck, a customized 1946 Ford Jailbar truck that's worth $200,000. It's powered by an Isuzu four-cylinder turbo diesel engine with five-speed manual transmission. So this is the seventh truck raffle that NTI has been holding to raise funds for motor neuron disease research. So NTI has raised more than $2 million over the past 6 years in honor of former CEO Wayne Patterson, who was diagnosed with the condition in 2015. So it's for a very good cause. I mean, every day in Australia, two people are diagnosed with the disease. So funds raised from the raffle are provided to researchers in Australia who are working to find a cure for the disease. So check it out. Yeah.
Are you keen to take Bonnie home, Terry?
Oh, every year it's the same problem. NTI takes my money and then shatters my dreams, Andrew. I saw Bonnie in Perth at Steadfast and fell madly in love with her on the spot. And it's a totally unrequited love. I've been waiting for her to be raffled. So, yeah, I'm in again. Take my money, NTI.
Well, perhaps this is your year. Well, that brings us to the end of this week's Insight podcast by Insurance News. Thank you once again to our panel, Bernice Han, Wendy Pugh, John Deeks, and a desperate Terry McMullen. Enjoy your week and thank you all for listening. If you have any questions or comments, please email us at editor@insurancenews.com.au. We value your input. You can read all these stories and many others at your leisure at insurancenews.com.au. You can subscribe to the Insight podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google, and all your favorite podcast platforms now. We look forward to catching up again next week.